San Ten's child grew strongly within her pouting belly. Sometimes it was difficult to breathe and almost impossible to be comfortable on the bare ground. She made herself a nest of soft desert grass in her little sand shelter, which amused the two old people. For them, the bare earth was bed enough, and they used their own shoulders as pillows. San Ten lay in the nest and tried to count the days and months since she and Michael had been together. But time was blurred and telescoped so far that all she could be sure of was that her time would be upon her soon. Hani confirmed her estimate, probing her belly with gentle, knowing fingers.
"The baby rides high and fights to be free. It will be a boy, Namchild," she promised, and took San Ten off into the desert to gather the special herbs that they would need for the birthing.
Unlike many Stone Age peoples, the San were fully aware of the processes of procreation and saw sexual intercourse not as an isolated and random act, but as the first step in the long voyage to birth.
"Where is the father of your growing infant, Namchild?" Hani asked.
And when she saw the tears in Santan's eyes, she answered herself softly,
"He is dead in the Northlands, at the ends of the earth. Is that not so?"
"How did you know that I came from the north?"
Santan asked, glad to turn away from the pain of Michael's memory.
"You are big, bigger than any of the San of the desert," Hani explained. "Therefore you must come from a rich land where living is easy, a land of good rains and plentiful food."
To the old woman, water was all of life.
"The rain winds come from the north, so you must also come from the north."
Intrigued by her logic, San Tan smiled.
"And how did you know I was from far away? Your skin is pale, not darkened like the skin of the sun. Here in the center of the world, the sun stands overhead. But it never goes north or south. And in the east and west, it is low and wasting, so you must come from far away, where the sun lacks the warmth and strength to darken your skin."
"Do you know of other people like me, Ani, big people with pale skins? Have you ever before seen people like me?"
San Ten asked eagerly, and when she saw the shift in the old woman's gaze, she seized her arm.
"Tell me, wise old grandmother, where have you seen my people? In what direction and how far away would I be able to reach them? Please tell me."
Hani's eyes clouded with a film of incomprehension, and she picked a grain of dried mucus from her nostril and examined it with minute attention.
"Tell me, Hani."
San Ten took her arm gently.
"I have heard the old people talk of such things," Hani grudgingly admitted. "But I have never seen these people, and I do not know where they could be found."
And San Ten knew she was lying. Then, in a sudden vehement gabble, Hani went on.
"They are fierce as lions and poisonous as the scorpion. The San hide from them."
She jumped up in agitation, seized her satchel and digging stick, and hurried from the camp and did not return until sunset. That night, after San Ten had curled in her grass bed, Hani whispered to Owa,
"The child yearns for her own people."
"I have seen her look southwards with sadness in her eyes," Owa admitted.
"How many days travel to reach the land of the pale giants?"
Hani asked reluctantly.
"How far to travel to her own clan?"
"Less than a moon," Owa grunted.
And they were both silent for a long time, staring into the hot, bluish flames of the camel thorn log fire.
"I want to hear baby cry once more before I die," Hani said at last, and Owa nodded,
and both their little heart-shaped faces turned towards the east. They stared out into the darkness, towards the place of all life.